Hello, welcome to Spotlight, shining artistic joy through the gloom of a Manx spring.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we hear about a wonderful new exhibition at Studio 42, Safe Harbours and Other Things. Catch up with the latest round of funding available via the Isle of Man Arts Council. And speak to the man who has the challenging job of adjudicating this year's Easter Festival of Plays at the Gaiety Theatre. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you may be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpted, drag, film, mime, social media, and all the others. Email spotlight@manxradio.com, howardcaine@manxradio.com. Anything else you can think, as long as it gets to me, I'd love to hear from you, and if you don't get in touch, I can't feature you. Be great to hear from you. First off, we'll head down south to the little artistic gem, which is Studio 42 in Port St Mary, where you will currently find a wonderful exhibition, which is the work of artist Andrew McKellar. Whilst known to many for recent abstract work, perhaps, the exhibition features a selection of his work in a favoured medium of ink and wash, which depicts well-known places on the Isle of Man, which have been or still are havens for those who live and work here. And Andrew explained to me how that connectivity with the past and continuity of human interaction with the local environment has always fascinated him and provided inspiration for his art.
I live on the Isle of Man, and clearly the sea is part of everyday life, and the fact that I'm acutely aware of people working on the sea in everywhere we go. But I've been drawing on the Isle of Man now for about 5 years and putting out cards and prints and the like, and have been asked more recently to be doing more harbour scenes and the like. And the idea of the safe harbour is an easy idea to pick up on, and we see it in everyday life. But I started to realise that the exhibition is more about the continuance of people who live on the island and have lived here for thousands of years. We don't see huge amounts of evidence of their lives here, but I've been drawing the stone circles for many years, and it struck me that these constitute safe harbours for people. They are places where people go to provide safety for the people that they wish to remember, for their families and the like. And it strikes me the rituals change, but the circumstances are pretty much the same. We are all, their concerns are fairly similar to our concerns. Now, obviously, that's slightly biased from the fact that most of what we see from Neolithic and other cultures is their burial practices. Mm. But I think it still holds true. Which actually gave me carte blanche to basically draw whatever I liked, I like that.
And that is part of the attraction, as you're saying. It's not just the landscape itself, so whether it be fortifications or castles, or as you say, the harbours themselves, the hills and the ports around the island, but this idea that these structures have basically been, as you say, a part of life on the Isle of Man for thousands of years.
It is a continuing thing. It's a shared humanity thing. It hasn't greatly changed, but it does give you the opportunity to see current culture and particularly the industrial scale at which we're doing things. But that's the industrial scale of the industry. Sounds a bit foolish, but it is. Ramsey, I hadn't really noticed the boat repair yard before, but it's a fascinating and ever-changing environment there, where they haul boats right out of the water to do the servicing and what have you. It's different every time you go up there, and I find the whole thing fantastic. A lot of the harbours are quite empty, but that, again, these are the changes that we're seeing now. But the safe harbour idea is there all the time.
And what drew you from, because you said you worked a lot in abstract for many years, what sort of drew you from going from abstract to obviously something far more physical and recognisable?
Abstract painting is something that I've always loved, but I also, I love painting, so watercolours and drawing have always been a mainstay. But abstracts in oil and the like, I've always been fascinated by how images are constructed, and as part of that, how we construct our own image from pictures and patterns that we see. That's basically the abstraction type element, but it kind of hangs together with watercolours and ink work, in the sense that to a large extent water paints itself. The water will move on the paper, or the oil will move to a certain extent on canvas. That's more acrylic will do that, where you'll add more water to do it. But there is an abstraction in all elements. And I have a great feeling, I don't know whether it's absolutely true, but if you look at living structures, they tend to not be entirely geometric. They have a kind of more a rhythm to them, which is easier to express in abstract formation than it is through absolute line and ruler. The ink drawings, partially because of the water and the wash, allow the best of both worlds.
And is that the reason, because the exhibition again is all ink and wash, I think, is that the reason why that's the medium you're using?
It is. It's a medium which I really like. As it happens, over lockdown, it became much easier to use a simple medium that you could go for a walk and take with you, hence the ink and wash. But also, I have to admit, in the last few months, it's been very cold, and sitting in a room on my own in potentially quite cold circumstances while I just paint has not been ideal. So something that, again, I could carry to anywhere in the house and outside is wonderful. And I do love doing these drawings.
And how do you actually sort of work on the drawings then? Because I'm just flipping through the catalogue now, and there's some... Well, they're all beautiful pieces, but again, it goes from sort of some rills, some stone circles, up by Aragon, the harbours, down by Peel Castle. Do you go out and sketch? Do you go out and take photographs of the landscapes, or do you actually sit and work in situ?
All of them.
All of the above?
All of them. I will draw and take photographs. Sometimes the photographs will then form the structure for a larger drawing. Sometimes I will take out vast pieces of paper, or large pieces of paper, and a drawing board, and just sit in basically a van, which gives me plenty of room, and draw. Yeah, I like working on the big pieces of paper as well, because part of what I do is kind of isolate subjects from their environment, so that an object that I'm drawing will stand on its own. But it looks very real on the Isle of Man, because we have such huge skies. So large pieces of paper and a particular aspect of the landscape in amongst the large sky, proportioned by it. I also kind of, I'm going to backtrack a bit here, but I do think this is part of the continuity structure that we've seen in the past, or that I've mentioned, because I think ancient people also saw it in the same way. So they did their stone circles or their burial mounds in relation to the environment. They made them fit what we have here, which is the giant skies and the views and the, to some extent, the emptiness, which I love.
It's well worth a visit and beautifully illustrates how much can be depicted with a relatively simple monochrome medium. It's on until mid-May, Wednesday to Friday, 10 till 5, Saturday, 10 till 4. Check it out.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, hopefully you might have enjoyed a play or two being performed during the MADFA Easter Festival of Plays at the Gaiety. Fear not if you haven't, there's still time. The festival runs until tomorrow evening. You'd have to be fast to get there this evening. However, whilst wonderful entertainment in their own right, it is a festival, and as such the plays are adjudicated and winners have to be chosen. The man with that unenviable task this year is Chris Baglan, who was last on the island for the one-act festival, then taking place at King's Court Theatre. He, along with festival president Sharon Walker, who we spoke to ahead of the festival last week, of course, called into the Spotlight studio, and I began by asking Chris if adjudicating a festival of both one-act and full-length plays was more challenging for him.
Absolutely, yes, because you've got to treat them both slightly differently. I mean, it's great for the performers, because if you've got a short play, then there are lots of advantages to that, in that you can get a lot of information through and a lot of acting through in a very short period. But over a longer play, you can develop your characters more and go into a more in-depth story. So each particular medium has its own advantages, and I wouldn't like to stick one above another, to be honest with you.
Now, there is a sort of, as I understand it, a sort of pro forma, because it's always a tricky one, isn't it? When you're judging something which is so subjective, like art or cookery or plays in this case, it's a case of, well, I might go along and think, oh, I really enjoyed that. And Michael might go along and think, oh, didn't really work for me, that one. So there is a sort of a sort of basic scoring pattern. And then how much sort of variance is there for individual adjudicators on that?
Well, to be honest with you, not a lot, which means that it shouldn't be a subjective thing. The GODA system is brilliant in that respect. I really respect the work that's been put into it, in that it takes those commonalities of various types of performance, whether that's comedy, tragedy, naturalistic, non-naturalistic, they all have certain commonalities, and it breaks them down into different sections. So the first one would be stage presentation. So that's everything from your sound effects, your staging, your lighting, your costumes, all of that. And that is weighted as well. So that's only worth about 15 points or 15% of your score. And then what really is the bulk of it is, first of all, your direction at 35%. So that is where people are standing, how they're looking, the overall mise-en-scène of the piece, how you've encouraged your actors to work together as an ensemble and support each other. And then 40%, the biggest part of the mark, is the acting itself, how it's put across, you know, and the skills of the actors in portraying the various characters. And then at the end, you've got this little 10%, which is what they call overall production. And I suppose that's the most subjective part of it, as to how it's what you've achieved on the stage. And to be honest with you, even though that's 10%, you'd have to have made a real pig's ear of it to score less than 5. So it's really not that much of a percentage, subjectively speaking. It's mostly objective if it's done properly.
And you know, and I always ponder this when you're starting, particularly if it's a, you know, it's a week-long festival or a festival which is 4 or 5 days long. When you see the first play, do you know where the sort of benchmark is? Because until, obviously, the first play, you might think, well, that was reasonable, and it might turn out to be considerably better than the other players, or vice versa, for that matter. So is it difficult when you're sort of starting off where to pitch the level, as it were?
Well, yes, that can be a problem with it, but generally speaking, I try and approach each individual play as an individual piece, as though I've never seen anything before and I'm not going to see anything again. I work into it. But there is also, at the end, if you do feel, come to the end of a play, oh, I was a bit harsh, perhaps, or a bit lenient on that play at the beginning, I've got a little bit of leeway to up a score, but we're only talking a point or two here and there.
What about the plays themselves then? Because if you're on the rounds, and I know there's a sort of round of adjudicators, do you see set pieces coming up, a particular favourites on the various circuits?
To be honest with you, there's such a variety of plays out there, and so many people these days are penning their own pieces for these kind of competitions, that it's very rare that I see the same things more than once. That said, just so happens this time round I am seeing two tonight by Jim Cartwright, which I have seen just this year over in Saltburn by the Sea. There's another piece that I've seen recently done twice. In fact, one particular festival down in the south of England, it was called the Welwyn Garden City Youth Festival. It's a week-long festival, 3 plays a night, all local schools and youth groups coming together to perform for the festival. One year, I was adjudicating the festival, and the same play arrived twice, with slightly different edits, but it was essentially the same one. I thought, well, this will be interesting. And when they were put on the stage, it just shows how wonderful and versatile these festivals are. you wouldn't have known that it was the same play because the approach and the presentation and every aspect of it was so different and each of its own merits. It was a wonderful experience to see that, and I'm glad that so many of the audience who came night after night got that experience too.
And Sharon, when you're organising the festival, like the Easter Play Festival, is it a case of do you have to take what you've got, or do you try and get a variety of plays from the audience point of view into the actual festival week?
We don't have to do anything, actually, Howard. The societies themselves always manage to provide a great variety of plays for us. It's never a case of sort of putting up with what we have. We're just always very, very lucky. Although that said, this year we do seem to have a plethora of plays that are tackling quite difficult subject matters. So some nights are quite hard going in terms of from an entertainment perspective. But if you want to come and see some fantastic drama, the plays have been absolutely amazing so far.
And what about, we've been talking with Chrissy, what about actually getting the adjudicators in? Because I know there's a set number. Do you have to book well in advance to actually get your adjudicator in place before you can actually get the festival underway?
If we want to get the adjudicator we want, but I don't think we've ever had a problem actually booking an adjudicator. The Isle of Man seems to be a place that lots of people like to come to. And interestingly enough, when we've been away to festivals across, the adjudicators there have always said to me, oh, I'd be very keen to come and adjudicate in the Isle of Man. But we have people who return because they suit our audiences very well and know our actors and groups very well. So we like to work with sort of the same set of people if we can.
And what about you, Chris? Because I assume you do travel around on the circuit doing adjudicating. Is there sort of, are there regional differences when it comes to standard? Is it very much of a one standard fits all for all of the sort of British Isles?
Oh, I'm not sure if I should answer that question. That's very leading, isn't it? you do find not so much regional differences, but you'll find companies that perhaps are of differing standards. But what I do find is I will go back to the same festival time and again, and I will find that a company that was perhaps not the best last time are just storming it a few years down the line because they've taken on board and that they're there to improve themselves as well, and they're listening to what we try and do as adjudicators, which is hopefully provide some positive and constructive feedback to them. And I know of one company who I shan't name, and they're quite canny in what they do in that they put their plays into a number of different festivals, and they'll go to the first festival, they'll listen to the adjudication, and they will change what they do slightly, they'll go to the next festival, and they will and so they're honing that one play from festival to festival to festival until by the end it's a real stonker.
But that's the absolute beauty of these festivals is that it does give people the opportunity to come and be involved, often in a very different way to how they normally would be. So if they've normally acted, they fancy having a go at directing, particularly our one acts is a really safe space to be able to do that. And we see that we're the same here. We see groups and actors develop through great strides over the years. We see that with our Young Actors of Man and what have you. It's really, really a great development place for people to be involved in.
And play-wise, again, we were saying, I was just flipping through the programme as we're looking at, we've got a broad spread of different types of play, different playwrights as well, of course. I was just looking there, 1984. I didn't realise 1984 was done as a stage play. I know Sharon was talking about it the other day, but you do get a broad spread, presumably, particularly in your line of work, yes?
Oh, absolutely. You can get everything from, I've seen young groups doing Commedia dell'arte. I've seen groups take on Greek tragedy and Shakespeare. I've seen groups take on things that are about the internet, like we'll see tonight, you know, and online bullying and dementia and all sorts of these strong and important subjects. And I think it was Peter Hall who said, theatre is the way that society has a live conversation with itself. So these are important subjects. And the amount of people who will come up to you after a play say, I didn't think I was going to enjoy that because the subject matter, but I really did. And then they will go into a story about how their life was affected, or they've got something in their life that was redolent of what was going on in that play. And it's wonderful to hear that, in the fact that they're able to get a kind of catharsis through watching these plays.
And that's an interesting point. And is that something that you have to be, I suppose, professional about in many ways? But presumably you must sometimes be somewhere where you don't actually enjoy the play because it's not really your sort of play, but you know it's done very well, or vice versa. That's presumably, again, you might have your own favourites and think, oh, I really love this one. Is it difficult to keep those sort of things right out of it, or is it just part of the job?
I think, from my point of view, it is part of the job. My own personal taste should not come into it. It's not about what I like. It's about what these companies have chosen and how they have put what they have chosen on the stage. That should be what an adjudicator looks for, in my opinion. And that's what I try and look for. So I try and keep my own personal preferences out of it. There are plays that I see that I wouldn't have chosen to go and watch, but I'm glad I saw them because, you know, it's expanded my knowledge, and the people who have done it have obviously put in a lot of time and love into these productions.
The last night of the festival, tomorrow evening, when the awards for the one acts will be made, go along and give them your support. It's worth noting, by the way, next year is the 75th anniversary of the Easter Play Festival. Amazing. Lots of special events being planned, Sharon tells me, including, I believe, a masked ball. Watch this space, or at least listen to it. Finally, it's that time again. I can never believe how quickly these things come around, but the next round of funding is upon us from the Arts Council. So if you have any artistic ideas you'd like to bring to fruition, then these funding rounds are your chance to get support and make your ideas reality, as the Arts Development Manager at the Arts Council, Jane Corkle, told me.
Yes, the next funding round is it closes on the 21st of June, and that's for a 12th of July Arts Council meeting to review all the applications.
This, again, open to, I know we mention this every time, but I always think people never quite too sure what the process is. They're scared off about, oh, well, I've got this idea, but it's only a bit vague. If exactly that, if someone's thinking, I've got this idea I'd like to do, I don't know, I'd like to do a statue, or I'd like to really like to do a book or something, they're not too sure, can they just come and have a chat in the first instance?
Absolutely. We love people coming to have a chat. It's great to hear people's ideas. And that's what the Arts Council funding is there for. It's to enable people to you know, make things happen creatively within our community, whether that's a small idea that's just festering or something quite big. Come and have a chat to us and we can help you, you know, think about putting an application into the council.
And what's the actual time scale then, once the application, say they go for it and say, right, I think I can go for this, they fill in the paperwork, it's put in, how does it go from there time scale wise?
So applications close 21st of June for the current funding round. And then there is a week or so where the team and I look through the applications, and we basically just make sure that all the documentation that's necessary for the application is there. If you haven't quite nailed that, we will get back to you and say, can you just send us this, or we've got a question about that. And then after about a week, the Arts Council members themselves start looking at the applications for their meeting. Once they've had their meeting on the 12th of July in this case, we aim to get back to everybody within about 10 working days to let them know the outcome.
And does it have to be something which is going to be Isle of Man based?
Well, We do offer funding. At the minute, we've got we've just released our domestic travel grant. Now, this is new to the Arts Council in the sense that this is a rolling fund. So whilst I've just been talking about deadlines, if you are travelling to the UK to participate, perform, exhibit in an event maybe, or a workshop, or a festival, competition, anything like that, which is in the UK and Ireland, you can apply at any time for that funding round. We recognise that it's difficult sometimes to get, you know, fares at the right prices or accommodation. So if you're travelling to the UK to do something there, then you can just apply anytime you like. And the Arts Council members, who are all fantastic people, we then get them together for a brief meeting as soon as we can, and you would have a result back for that very quickly.
Give us those dates again then.
So next funding round closes on the 21st of June, and domestic travel, anytime you like.
That's about it for this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to maxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not suggest it to some soaked cruise liner tourists as a happy way to while away a damp half hour on the Isle of Man? See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.